Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with jazz pianist and composer Clifford Lamb and producer Jeff Weber on the 2022 CD Blues and Hues New York. They open up about this series of albums that will explore the intersection of blues and jazz in cities across America. The first stop is the Mecca of jazz on earth, New York City. Their next stop is Chicago. This album is written with an A-plus team of jazz stars from the Big Apple. Bassist Christian McBride, trumpeter Jeremy Pelt, drummer Carl Allen, and saxophonist Wayne Escoffrey, creating an introspective homage to a city that never sleeps. We cover this and other projects, along with much more. Enjoy this interview.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking some time out today for the show. I'm looking forward to talking about the album. I appreciate it.
This is one of, in a series. This is our fifth in a series in which the next one is happening later this year in Chicago. So the New York was a lot of homage to Duke Ellington's great work in New York. What I did was merge two pieces in the style that I've developed along with Jeffrey for the mashup. What we do is we bring some of the issues of the day in New York through the lens of somebody like Duke Ellington, and by doing that, I was able to bring out songs that were germane to New York in my own style. So Jeffrey, you know, he and I have been working together for since 2015. This is our fifth go around here. We're in the process of doing another album as well that we're finishing up later this month. So Jeff and I have a bit of a track record. We're looking, you know, forward to continuing that relationship.
You know, it's interesting about the recordings of Clifford, because we make records live to two tracks. We capture a performance rather than manufacture one. And that's really crucial when it comes to spontaneity and creativity. A lot of times, even though the song is well written and well conceived and well charted, it becomes a collaborative effort between Clifford and the musicians, as they strive for the best versions of themselves. And Clifford has an open door policy in terms of allowing them to contribute in the way that they see fit in order to benefit the album the most. This is a very dangerous way to make a record live to two tracks, because simply there is no net. You know, what you hear is what actually happened in that moment. It's pretty exciting. Not too many performers can actually pull that off. But Clifford is one of those that is fearless, and, you know, we have a lot of fun, and it can be daunting at times. We still love the process, and we love the way the results turn out.
And obviously you can't do this alone, so talk to me a little bit about the players on the album and how you picked them to be a part of this project.
Well, Jeffrey sort of took my cue. I mean, we would go back and forth. I would listen to certain people, and, you know, Wayne Escoffrey came to my attention, as well as Jeremy Pelt and Carl Allen, and of course Christian McBride. I mean, you know, we went back and forth with them, and of course then there is the process of procuring those players, which has its own set of challenges.
You know, scheduling is always a juggling act, because, you know, Clifford has his own schedule. Some of the more well-known players have their own schedule, and we try to fit it in between their tours, the studio's availability, our travel plans, the engineer's availability, and leaving Clifford enough time to write the music and do the research that he does on each of these projects. It's definitely a jigsaw puzzle that we fit together as best we can.
That's the other component of this, is that you have to do your homework, and you're digging into names that are the original practitioners of this art form, like Duke Ellington and George Gershwin. So talk to me a little bit about how you take the original notions they had and you interpret it the way that you want it to work, and have that interplay the way it actually came out on the album with all these players.
That's an interesting question, you know, and there's many ways to answer that, so I'll just keep it simple. My impression of Duke Ellington was, you know, much more playing related. But then I did, of course, find out a lot about Duke Ellington through my research. And George Gershwin, I grew up with him as well. It's part of my family kind of heritage sort of thing. But, you know, what you do is you look up, you know, what the social conditions were in New York. And try to create some sort of a fit between, say, like for the Miles with Duke was, you know, Miles had a had, you know, paid homage to Duke Ellington, said, you know, he was like the history for New York. So, you know, I figured that he could be alongside that. And then going back to your statement about George Gershwin, my thought was simply that those two were working at the time, you know, together in the city. Their regard for each other, I didn't know, but they did exist alongside each other. And I think that's worth noting because if you listen to the style, there's a lot of similarities, even though the approach is different. And I think a lot of that is culturally based. So, you know, you learn these things as you go, sort of from an experiential playing standpoint, in addition to which you do, you look some, do some fact finding about the people and the lives that they led.
One of the benefits of being involved in this process with Clifford is I learned so much that I didn't know. And one part of me is ashamed that I didn't know it because I've been doing, you know, we've been doing jazz for a long time. So it comes as a discovery, you know, for me and for Clifford as we kind of dig deep into some of the songs that are representative of the people of the city. And it really makes it rewarding on so many different levels. And I think that this record particularly shows the reverence that that Clifford has for musicians like Gershwin and Ellington, and it's homage to New York.
You know, I know what I expect or what I hope when I get a CD and I pop it in my CD chamber, or, you know, you download an album. There's an expectation, and I think that can run the gamut. But my expectation is going to be different from yours as a producer and an artist. What is your expectation? What is your hope, I guess, is the more accurate way to put it, that the listener gets from this project? What do you want them to feel from it?
Well, I want them to get a sense of, you know, just a sense of what I'm trying to convey personally as an artist, my interpretation of New York. I mean, I've had supportive comments such as, like, this is exactly like New York. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's great. I'm still figuring that one out myself. But it's a lot of it's interpretive, you know, as far as that goes. But you want people to have a positive experience. And I'm trying, you know, my effort is twofold. Number one, bring alive the historical aspects of a city and thereby hopefully appreciating the city more through that process. And the second being that people have a sense of style through that and have a positive just music experience at the same time by my interpretation, you know, of those given factors.
I think that from my standpoint as a producer, I'm always looking for the way that my artists can supply a sense of emotion from their writing and their playing that is picked up by the audience, by the listener. Because, you know, passion and commitment and emotion are the currency that develops a relationship, in my opinion, with the listener. And I think that clearly this record is all about passion. And I think that it does create a wonderful bridge to the ear of the listener.
So, you know, the Blues and You series that that is being put together here, you know, which is like an ongoing kind of a thing city by city, is a lot of it has to do with preserving the blues tradition in the face of what is a changing landscape for music. You know, there's the newer players, some of the things that they're doing don't remind me of the blues. And by combining different tunes and creating a larger experience, my hope is that people will continue to see blues as a viable, you know, listenable art form that they'll continue to gravitate to. So that's, you know, by me combining tunes, that's sort of like the old-fashioned version of people, I guess, cutting and pasting on their computer.
Well, you know, the other thing about this is being a series, you know, and then even just having subsequent albums, you always grow with each one. What kind of growth have you gone through with this album that's going to make you maybe approach the next one in a different way or evolve into a stronger organism on the next recording?
What's interesting about that question is that, you know, there's no one way that things will occur because a lot of what comes from writing comes from your given situation. Like with this particular album, my father was nearly passing and there were a lot of things going on. So the album has kind of a reflective feel to it. And so to go back to your question, the next one will be much more up, for example, and you know, we're going to Chicago. It's a blues town. I expect there to be a lot more energy and a lot more expansion, because that's where things are for me right now. There's kind of an expansion going on, you know. So, you know, you do learn how to go get to the nuts and bolts of a city, you know, through the continued research for each album. So I think I'm hoping to, you know, discover, you know, more and more interesting things as I research for each city.
Chicago is really interesting because there are quite a few blues-only record labels, the most prominent of which is Alligator Records, and you know, such a rich history in the blues. So many wonderful musicians still play nothing but the blues. So I know that Clifford and I are really looking forward to jumping in with both feet on this one.
And there's an undeniable backdrop to all of this, which has been the fact that we've lived through this pandemic for a couple of years, and the world of professional musicians has been turned upside down, especially jazz musicians. So now, as we are reemerging and there's more live music and things are opening back up, how does it feel to not only have this record come out, but the prospect of others with things opening up and getting back to what musicians have been used to doing for so long?
Well, I'm looking forward to getting out there and of course, you know, getting my message out to as many people as possible. And absolutely, there are more opportunities. I'm playing here on a local level quite a bit. But the larger picture for us is to take this blues and use on the road and gather a cadre of musicians that we can take, you know, throughout the United States and Europe. And we are putting together a core team, you know, through this whole process. Go back to your question, we've been gathering, you know, people that like a core team as we go. We have a core team of musicians that are not just, you know, there for the enjoyment and, you know, to act as professional musicians, but they actually feel that this project is something that they want to take part in and just beyond the professional part of it.
Every musician that we use is a stellar player in his own right and has his own kind of network of people. And when our projects are finished, I've asked each one of them, you know, would you be willing to accompany Clifford as he does music festivals and other live concerts? And to a man, everyone said, yeah, we would love that, you know, because they enjoy the competition, they enjoy the camaraderie, and they walk into the studio and they see great players, and what more can you ask?
So give me kind of a preview of the series. I know we have New York, Chicago. Talk to me a little bit about what's next on the horizon for those out there that are interested in where this is going.
Okay, well, Blues and Use in New York was just done, and Chicago's coming up right around Christmas time. You know, we've discussed Los Angeles, we've discussed various cities, but at this point, Chicago is the only tangible one. But Jeffrey has brought up to me the point that, you know, the blues-oriented cities are not just in, you know, they're really everywhere, but there's Memphis, there's various cities. So I can't give you a specific itinerary right now, but we can tell you what I can tell you, and I'd like to just talk about my newest album, which is a piano-centered album. You know, it's called Ancestral Streams, and that's the one that we're doing this month, and it's a piano trio-centric album, which will, it's my interpretation of different jazz masters like McCoy Tyner, Herbie Hancock, Bill Evans, some Art Tatum in there. So each one, I'm going to be writing something and in a couple of places playing standards that are reflective of their style done in my interpretation. And so, the listening public, it's my hope that they are more aware of what I do just as a piano player, because truth be told, Blues and Use is a production kind of a concept. It's not about Clifford Lamb on the piano. It's about a production that Clifford Lamb does for the reasons that we've been talking about, namely, you know, to explore each city and do that, you know, with the most effective musicians that it makes sense to do it at a given time.
For New York and hopefully Chicago, we did another Blues and Hughes record in New Orleans during the pandemic, which was fascinating, and we had a record called Blues and Hues, which kind of initiated the concept. This particular record, Ancestral Screams, is kind of a departure from that concept, allowing Clifford to explore what he does. And I think it's a great refresher, and it allows him to kind of just move forward with all aspects of his career.
So for everyone out there listening to this that's curious about this album and the next one, where can they pick it up? Where's the best place for them to buy it? I mean, I think that's the thing that we've learned over this pandemic. There's as we reemerge, there's places that you can get this that's more ideal. Where can they stream it? And find out about live shows and anything else that's going on in your world.
Right. There's the website is cliffordlam.com to find out what's going on at a given time. There's, you know, press releases, different gigs that are happening locally, so on and so forth. As far as the record is concerned, it's available through DistroKid on all the platforms, all the digital platforms. So they're definitely available there. I seem to have be part of the vinyl revival because I've seen my name pop up in record stores, vinyl record stores, and CDs. Unbeknownst to me, I guess, you know, people are selling my CDs at, you know, for a premium at different record stores, you know, which is starting to pop up a little bit. Aside from that, though, the digital platforms and, of course, through my website is the way to get the album.
The Clifford's records are available, in addition to his website, in more than 150 plus e-retailers around the world. So there's never a problem.
Jazz is alive and well, gentlemen. Thank you for taking some time out. Clifford, Jeff, I really appreciate it. Good luck with Chicago. And, you know, hopefully you guys make it to Kansas City. You know, we've had a history of the blues here.
Hey, you know, it's so funny you should say that because that city did come up. And now you're going to add to that mix. We're looking forward to seeing you over there sometime.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and you got to get the barbecue. You got to feel the ambiance. We got some good stuff going on here.
How you're talking.
Okay. That's great, Joe. I absolutely accept.
I love it. Gentlemen, thank you again, and good luck with everything.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in New York City, Chicago, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to both Clifford and Jeff for their time, music, and their story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz@youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to neonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.